That's interesting. During the ad break, our next guest said, bring back arranged marriages. Yes. Hey, Dean O'Connell. Where do you go from there? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Yeah. We got Aideen in because she wrote an article. And basically, it's what happens when all your friends start to couple up and settle down, but you're just coming out of a relationship, so you're single. And when you weren't single, they were single, so there's a mismatch. It's all over the place, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you better lay out your stall first and give us your relationship history, a sort of a relationship CV, if you like.
Okay.
Right.
If you want to start from the start, I spent quite a lot of time crying in the corner of the Mermaids nightclub around the age of 18. Hormones hadn't settled, had discovered vodka for the first time,
right.
Sang a lot of All By Myself by Celine Dion, even though my friends, because I thought all my friends are pulling, they weren't, maybe it was one of them. To this day, they still say, we were right beside you, like
yes.
We were literally talking to you, but you just wouldn't listen to us. And I suppose I was always afraid that I was going to be the last single friend like left behind. I was terrified going to be left for a man who wore bootleg jeans and brown suit shoes.
Which are all fine.
Which is fine. No offence to anyone who wears that, but not the partner I want.
Yes.
And this kind of pattern, I suppose, continued till I was 21 and I found myself in a relationship.
Right.
And then all my friends, I suppose, started to have that single life that you kind of dream your 20s are going to be like. Not that I didn't have
But you were
have
in a relationship.
I was in a relationship. So yes. I was in a relationship then for
But
six
this
years.
Is what you wanted.
Yeah, that was the thing. I didn't want to be left behind. And a lovely time, amazing, lovely chapter of my life. But then that ended. Which
no, I just want to go back. Don't skip on
yeah,
so
no,
fast, Aideen, because I want to know a little bit. So people know you.
Yeah.
You know, they're hearing you for the first time. So you were a couple of vodkas singing along with Celine Dion. And what was going through your head? What sort of teenager were you? Were you confident?
No.
Right.
I was very self-conscious.
Yes.
Didn't have a high opinion of myself at all. Very much thought I was like the ugly duckling.
Right. And what were the people around you saying?
They were saying you're fine.
Yes. Fine, just fine.
They're like, you're fab, you shut up. They were like,
Yeah.
They were kind of just like, cop on, like, come on.
Yes.
But when you're 18, 19, and they do say that kind of affects you. Maybe if you haven't had romance when you're a teenager, that can kind of affect you going into your 20s a little bit. I've seen a lot more people talk about that now as I get into my later 20s. But I was definitely...
Does it become a sort of a monkey on your back? Is that it?
A little bit, yeah. Because I don't think there was any boys. Now, some of them can text in if you're listening, boys from Listowel, but you definitely weren't chasing after me when I was 16, 17.
The interesting thing now, of course, and this is 10 years on, is that I read some research recently that now people aren't in relationship that young anymore,
mm-hmm.
that they're leaving it till their 20s, that they're hanging out in groups, friends, you know, male and female
yes.
friends, and that's enough for them.
Yeah.
So, which is probably a better way of doing it, I would think.
Yeah, I think so. I think, like, I don't regret being in a relationship. I suppose there's a bit of me now, I'm a bit angry, maybe that I missed out on that period because
right.
it was... The majority, like that chunk of my 20s was I was in a serious uh-huh. relationship.
And you were looking over at the grass greener?
Sometimes.
Yeah. All your friends were out. They were out.
Yes. And they would look at me then, which they tell me now, be like, oh, she's having a great time. She's
oh, yeah.
She's
at
the
home.
Streets, you know.
With the duvet,
yeah.
watching a movie, takeaway.
That kind of thing.
We
and we always look at it like that.
Yes. Mm. So you're never happy, in other words.
Yeah. So, and I look back at it now and I'm like, okay, I would have liked to have been... maybe single for that period of my life, because then as that relationship ended when I was 28, which was, just to preface this now to the people of Ireland, I know you're going to listen to this and be like, oh my God, like there's actually real things happening in the
no,
world.
I know.
And his young one is upset that she's alone for a while.
No, but that's fine. That is completely fine. And,
yeah.
and for a lot of our listeners, I think this is a window into a world that they obviously, you know, they're not experiencing.
Mm.
So so I'm fascinated. We used to do a lot of this stuff on Today FM back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to get back into it, you know, talking about relationships and worries and self-esteem mm-hmm. and all that sort of thing. So at 28, you emerge out of a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think, after the initial sort of brokenheartedness and all that, what do you think the world's going to be like for you?
Like, I was raring to go. Like, I was like... Dublin, watch out. I moved back up to Dublin from Kerry, kind of upended my life in a lot of ways. Thought that, like, there was a lot of friends at home who were in long-term relationships, a few in Australia who were single, and then there was a few in Dublin that were single. So I was like, when I meet those girls in Dublin, we're going to have the time of our lives. I just had this image, it's going to be Sex and the City, it's
yes.
going to be amazing. And then the last one, last one bites the dust. One of my closest friends got into a relationship when I just moved up.
Oh, right.
So, and I remember specifically, she was like, I'll go out with you loads. But then we planned a trip. She won't mind me saying this, but we planned a trip to go to Cheltenham in November 2023. It's horse racing. I love horse racing. Yeah. And so we're like, we'll go over. And she messaged me then when I was on holidays with my family. And she was like, I don't think I can go now because my boyfriend wants to take me away for the weekend.
Yeah.
And this was now maybe 2-3 months after the breakup. So I was still in grief. I didn't really know what was going on. And then I was hit with this bombshell that I was the last single friend out of the immediate friend group. And then I remember just bursting out crying. I was away like in Spain and I was like, this is such a first world problem. But I was like, I was so upset. I was like, I'm going to be left alone. And I remember like
forever
I was like, right, this is it now. What have I done? Why have I decided to like totally put my life in its head? Like I was going down one path. I thought it would be like marriage, babies. I thought that was all ahead of me, and then all of a sudden it wasn't, and now I'm crying.
Can I ask you, did you feel like that was, you know, because I thought things have changed in the modern world, because back in the day it would have been, you know, you started going out with somebody, then you got engaged, then you got married, then you had children, you bought the house, and it was all sort of written in written in the stars for you. And did you think that was going to happen for you?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, like I full blown was like, this is kind of it now.
This,
you know,
person that you met in your early 20s, that they were going to be for life.
Yeah, because it's not a, that's not a strange story.
No.
As people may think it might be, especially, so we have a phrase, me and a few of my friends, like, because we're from rural Ireland. Now it is different since I moved up and I talk to other people, and people get into relationships a lot later up here, whether it's kind of for economic reasons, you know, it's probably harder to buy a house here, harder to settle down. But we always say there's nothing casual about dating in the country.
There's nothing casual about dating
in the country.
Right.
Like you meet someone, that first date, that's it.
So already you're looking at that person as, what, like, do we look like in a suit?
Yeah, like buy the hat, like that, done. And I have like a lot of friends who, it's first guy they might have met.
And how do the lads think, you know?
I think they're pretty,
they're in the same, they're the in the market same. For a,
I have a working theory about men. So 25-year-olds, like lads aged between 25 and 29, mad to settle down. Like really would marry you, I would say, tomorrow.
Right.
But then when they turn 30, so when a woman turns 30, which I think is a lot of my, maybe why I was so upset initially, was because I was edging towards this big decade. And when you turn 30,
it's a big age.
It's a big age.
Why so?
Your biological clock starts to tick.
Yes.
You're starting to think, in a lot of ways, your world can kind of constrict a little bit as a woman, because you are, even though you have time, it doesn't really feel like it. And people around you are saying things. And
like what?
Friends, you know, like I had someone say to me, you'd really want to be thinking about having babies in the next like 2-3 years.
Did they say it like that? You'd want to be thinking about having babies.
They're like, you know, don't leave it like too late.
Yeah. That sort of conspiratorial whisper.
And I was like, okay, right. I was like, hadn't thought about that. But then for a man, now men can correct me here, but once they turned 30, it's like they realize they have 9 lives. And then they're like, oh, like I could actually, if I wanted to, I could have a baby when I'm in my 60s.
Yes.
You know.
You don't want
and
to
this
be doing
was
that,
confirmed
though.
To me by a man at the weekend. I was talking to him about it, and he's like, I actually had that thought. He was like, will I settle down? And then he goes, do you know what? No. I could still keep going.
Do you think that men crave parenthood in the same way that women do? Or do they see it as such a big deal? I'm wondering.
I think they do. I think like, I've been asked a few times about like men in Ireland and dating, and I do think a lot of them are genuinely looking for love and they want families. That's just natural. We all do, like, that's kind of a natural thing. But I suppose parenthood is different for a woman, really. That's just fact, you know. We'll take on the majority of the burden.
You carry the baby for 9 months, you give birth. Yes,
that's the thing. You are going to carry out most of the child care.
If you decide you're going to feed them from yourself,
that's the thing. Yes. You know, so it is different.
Yes.
Their lives will change.
Oh, completely different, yes.
But not as much as, say, a woman's will.
Yeah. So you hit 30 then, and it looks like in your head that the roads of men and heterosexual women are going different directions.
Yeah.
Because they're looking at all the stars who are having babies in their 60s and 70s, and they're going, oh, I can do that.
Yeah, like Robert De Niro.
Yeah,
he was
like
70 something.
Yeah, I know, but he also has, there's a lot of nannies involved there. I don't know if he's changed the nappy. Maybe he has. Maybe I've been unfair to the man. Maybe he has. I don't know. And did you feel a real pressure then?
Yeah, I did for a while. I remember when I realised that I have a really good group of core friends from home, and we've been friends since we were about 12.
Yeah.
So like every stage of life we've moved at together, which I think it's just maybe it's a grieving thing with me too. It's like every time one of them, I'm so happy for them and they say they're engaged or they're having a baby, I'm like, wow, I'm so happy for you. But it's also that chapter of our lives is really closing now, right, and that is ending.
And do you see that as something you haven't done?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Do you see that though?
And you kind of start comparing yourself. Yes. And you're kind of like, should I be doing that? So I had a lot of these thoughts for a while, and then I kind of said, I'd like to say I had like an eat, pray, love like realization. I didn't. It was like
what's an eat, pray, love realization?
Have you ever seen that video, that film with Julia Roberts?
No,
and
I didn't watch it.
She gets divorced and she like goes to India and she travels the world.
She finds herself. Right.
I found myself in Ryan's on Camden Street a lot during the summer.
That's a pub, people.
That's a pub. Tipperary pub in Camden Street. That's where I was. I had a bit of an eat, pray, and cop on moment, I like to say. I kind of said, look, right. I knew myself in a way. I actually didn't want to get into another relationship. That's actually not what I wanted, because I had a load of other things I wanted to do. So I kind of had to realise, okay, am I going to be kind of sitting around being like miserable and like moping slightly about, oh, you're alone, like boohoo. So I kind of said,
look. Not very attractive.
And also really annoying. It was annoying for me. So I kind of, I sat down and I said, okay, I need to start. I actually have to date myself. So that's kind of the.
Never heard that phrase before.
Yeah. I did. It was after what I mentioned earlier, that thing with Cheltenham, which is so funny that was like at the centre of the horse racing. But it was a few weeks after that I said, okay, I'm going to have to take control
here.
How
does one date oneself?
I started to take myself out. I went on a lot of like solo dinners, solo lunches. I like went into bars on my own with the book, and like they don't sound like big things, but I know that
for a lot of people, they are big things.
Quite nerve wracking.
Oh yeah, no, going into a restaurant and have dinner on your own is a big thing.
Yeah,
it's
really
a big
is.
Thing, yes.
So I started to do that. I went to events on my own. Went to like one or two gigs.
You find the whole thing?
At the start, it's more because I know when I'm out, but I think it's maybe because I'm a journalist, you'd be looking at people and you'd be like, why are they on their own? I wonder what their story is. So I'm like, are people looking at me being like, what's her story? But after a while, got over that and I kind of got more used to my own company.
Right.
And then it moved on then from, you know, I realised I didn't have to do those big, like go out for the dinner and go for the lunches. Well, I still do that. But then it was just like the smaller minutiae of like daily life. I would like, you know, going for a long walk on my own or having a coffee on my own. Small
things
like that. Being
comfortable in your own company.
Exactly. And one thing I always say now is like from the minute you're born to the moment you die, there is one person who's with you the entire time.
Who's that?
It's yourself. Yeah. Who is it? It's yourself.
Yeah.
And they're there, and you owe to yourself, I think, to learn to like yourself, but not only like yourself, but respect yourself. And like when I look back to like 18-year-old me in that nightclub, like I didn't know who I was. And
How could you?
Like you're a child. Yeah. And even I'm still a child, like I'm newborn.
No, but even that thing, you know, 18, being an adult. And everything that comes along with being an adult, that's unfair to an 18-year-old, I think.
Oh my God,
a lot
so
of pressure.
Unfair. Yeah.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
So what do you I suppose it's nice to have somebody in your life to, you know, celebrate with. It's nice to have somebody when things don't go too well to, you know, that they can commiserate with you or hold your hand or put their arm around you. Do you miss that sort of thing?
Not at the minute.
No. Are you on apps or anything, or what are you doing?
I kind of on and off them. I try and stay away from the apps. I don't really like them. I think they're the pits of hell at times.
What's your worst experience?
I haven't had exactly any bad experiences, but I have a thing where I can't deal with bad texters, but all my friends are like, you're going for the wrong men. The men who are really good texters, don't talk them and you meet them. But it's the guys who are bad texters, talk a lot.
This is interesting. So you're a journalist. You're into the English language. So people who can't be entertaining on text,
I can't vibe with.
Aha.
But then my friends are like, no, it's the guys who can't really text are usually better in person. And
a bit of a generalisation.
Now, I haven't gone on many dates, to be honest, because I think myself, I just at this moment in time,
right,
I'm not exactly looking for love. I'm not opposed to love. Like a family member said to me recently, she was like, I think you're closing yourself off from finding your person. And I was like, I don't really feel like that. I'm just.
Do you feel there is one for you, that there's the one? Are you looking for the one?
Yeah. Yeah, I have a feeling he's definitely out there. But until that...
I wonder, is he listening today?
he's probably...
51551.
Texting. But I think what I've done, I think for me in the last, definitely in the last 6 months, six, 7 months, and it's been really... It's been, I suppose, one of the happiest periods of my life in a way, is that I actually am starting to feel really good on my own two feet.
Brilliant.
And I think...
So I think
that's so important.
The takeaway from our chat here, apart from the laughs and all that sort of thing, is, you know, date yourself.
Date yourself. You're actually good crack and you're really hot.
And here's the thing, and here's the thing, even if you're in a relationship, it's not, you're not being unfaithful to your partner.
No, you that's the yourself. Thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes, yes. So I'm it's universal. Aideen, I'm sure we'll chat again. Thanks so much for coming in. That's Aideen O'Connell.
Thanks,
we're going to take a quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.